Let justice roll down.
The prophet Amos reminds us that above all things, God is most concerned with justice. God's word through Amos was directed against the privileged people of Israel, a people who had no love for their neighbor, who took advantage of others, who only looked out for their own concerns. And more than any other book in Scripture, the book of Amos holds God's people accountable for their ill treatment of others. It repeatedly points out the failure of people to fully embrace God's idea of justice. They were selling off needy people for goods. They were taking advantage of the helpless and oppressing the poor, and the men were using women immorally, drunk on their own economic success and intent on strengthening their financial position. The people had lost the concept of caring for one another. So during the season of Lent, we're going to be focusing on the call of God through the words of Amos. What are the ways that our living has allowed injustice to remain in our world? Let justice roll down like waters. Are we ready and able to be about the work of justice here in this church and out in our community and further into the world? How can we make a difference? Today, our passage comes from the Hebrew Bible, from a psalm of David. It is a personal lament to God, and the psalmist asks the question, how long? It's a question that we ask when answers don't come quick enough, when the pain or sorrow never seems to abate, and we wonder if God is even listening to us anymore. How long must we wait? But it's not only a personal lament. Often it is a question of the collective body, the community. It is the same question that is on the lips of so many in our world, in our country today. How long will these tragedies continue? How long will we engage in war with one another? How long will we fail to see one another as God's children? How long? Our psalm this morning is a psalter, which means that we're going to be reading it together and singing a response. So I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page number 746. And we are going to sing the response, 746, Psalm 13. Let us stand together as we share in our scripture together. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on my side. Let us sing.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side.
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?
How long will you hide your face from me?
How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day long?
How long shall my enemy?
Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God.
My sleep is the sleep of death.
Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him.
Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken.
But I trusted in your steadfast love.
My heart shall rejoice in your salvation.
I will sing to the Lord.
For the Lord has dealt bountifully with me.
You may be seated. A reading entitled Perfecting. As we walk further into your light and your word manifests more deeply within us, may we come to understand that absence is not always enough. The absence of hate is good, but the presence of love perfects what is good. The absence of evil is good, but the presence of righteousness perfects what is good. The absence of violence is good, but the presence of peace perfects what is good. The absence of scarcity is good, but the presence of abundance perfects what is good. The absence of discrimination is good, but the presence of justice perfects what is good. Transform us as only you can, perfecting God. Mold us and make us after your will while we are waiting, yielded and still. Amen. Ed and Judy were members of my last church, and right before I was appointed to Pearl River, I was informed that they would be leaving for Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You see, Ed needed a lung transplant, but he had aged out for a transplant in any of the hospitals that were local to where he lived. And so his only opportunity to get a transplant is to go to Pittsburgh and wait for a lung. And so they left in June of 2011, armed with this promise and with all our love, to await a lung in Pittsburgh. And this waiting went on for years. I would call Judy on the phone, and she would assure me that they weren't giving up hope. But I could hear in her voice the fatigue, the fear, and at times even the doubt that a lung would ever come. Judy and Ed never ceased praying, not only for Ed's lung, but when I would call Judy, she would give me the names of all the people that were there waiting with them, and the people that were going in for surgery, and for the people where the surgery wasn't a success, we would pray for their families. And yet, no matter how strong their faith was, I have no doubt that at times their prayer to God sounded very similar to the psalmist's lament. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever, Lord? How long? This prayer is a prayer that all of us have prayed at some point. It is the cry of one that is tired of waiting, tired of the unknown life, weary from constant pain and constant striving without any answers. It is the lament of a people that are failing to hold on to hope when faced with constant tragedy and constant war and violence and injustice in our world. How can God sit by and do nothing? I can't tell you how many times I am asked this as a pastor. If God is a gracious God, if God is a God of justice, if God loves God's people, why is God silent? Pastor, if God is a loving God, why does God allow such atrocities to happen in our world? School shootings, genocide in Myanmar, natural disasters that decimate whole islands, threats of nuclear war, growing opiate epidemic in our country. Lord, how long must this go on? The psalm that we shared this morning is attributed to King David. Now, his life and his kingship were filled with war. I mean, that's really all that went on for King David. I mean, there were times where he did some other things that we're not going to talk about today. But that David's life was filled with war and tragedy. He was pursued on all sides. King Saul relentlessly pursued him in order to take his life. David's own son, Absalom, attempted to overthrow his father's reign and take the throne. There was not a time when David didn't fear for his life, and yet he still asks this question: how long must my enemies exalt over me? How long, Lord? Now, the Psalms are songs of worship, but they're also deep, deep cries of prayer. You can imagine David on his knees pouring out this lament to God, pleading for his presence, for God to somehow sweep down and save him once again. But something happens in the midst of this psalm, and I'm not sure if you picked up on it. As we get to the end of the prayer, something shifts in the voice of the psalmist. The psalm begins with four how long laments. How long? How long? How long? How long? But then it ends with hope. With a song of hope, with a promise of God's salvation. What happened that led David to this shift? What was it in the midst of this lament, in the midst of this prayer, that David saw something different that gave him hope once more? Now, David was not a perfect leader, but he was a faithful leader. Scripture tells us that David had a heart for God, and he continually poured out his heart to God in prayer in times of joy, David dancing, and in times of tragedy, in times of great sorrow, in times of humility, and in times of lament. David continually poured his heart out to God. David trusted God. And this allowed him to hold on to hope even when hope seemed impossible. Prayer is important in our lives. Not because our prayers will somehow force God to act and fix everything. I'm going to say that again. We don't pray because our prayers are going to force God to act and fix everything. Our prayers matter because they keep us connected to God, to God's heart and God's will for all God's children. Our prayers help shape and change our hearts and allow us to not only to hold on to hope, but to move us to action. They allow us to declare that we will sing to the Lord a new song. Our prayers can lead us to speak out when we encounter injustice, because I know how hard that is. We watch injustice happen, and we're afraid to speak up. But our prayers embolden us to be able to move and speak out against injustice, to do more than just offer prayers and thoughts in the midst of another school shooting, but to stand up and speak out for what we believe to be right. So maybe it's our prayer lives that lead us to write to our representatives, to call for stronger gun legislation so that young men like Nicholas Cruz aren't able to purchase weapons that are capable of such destruction. And maybe you are called to join the young people in the March for Lives in New York City on March 24th to call for greater gun control. Or perhaps your prayer leads you in a different direction. Perhaps your prayer says, I feel like God is calling me to the work of destigmatizing mental health in our world. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. We don't provide safe spaces where people can be honest about their struggles with depression and anxiety because we're afraid. And maybe your prayer is leading you to say, I want to educate myself to know more about mental health issues, and I want to help others too. And maybe this will lead you to a place where you can walk alongside and support your brothers and sisters in their struggle. Or maybe your prayer leads you to see young men at risk in our world, because many of these shootings are shootings by young men. And the question comes, what might have happened if Nicholas Cruz, this was somebody that came up and asked me this last Sunday, what might have happened if Nicholas Cruz was told over and over again, you are a child of God, God loves you, I love you. I don't know, but what might have happened? So maybe our prayers lead us to say, you know what, God's calling me to be a big brother or a big sister, to reach out and support our young people that are struggling so that they know that their lives matter and the lives of others are worth, they're worthy in God's eyes. Prayer alone is not enough, but prayer is where we begin. It's where we begin. So what will your prayer life look like during the season of Lent? Prayer is not only about speaking with God, but it's taking time for silence, opening ourselves to the possibility that God might have something still to say to us as well. I am continually amazed at how God speaks in powerful ways. We had a witness at our earlier service today about how God spoke to her and allowed her to be a healing presence. But we have to be willing to listen. We have to find time to be still. On Friday morning, I was gathering with my colleagues in worship, and it was our last worship together. I was a part of the Board of Ordained Ministry, which we meet with candidates who are looking to go into the ministry. And we were exhausted by Friday. It had been a long several days. And Reverend Chris Heckert, one of my colleagues and friends, he got up with his guitar and he said, we're going to sing a song. This is a song by U2. I'm not a big not that I dislike U2, I just have never been a big U2 fan. But he said, this is a song. I went to their concert, and at the end of the concert, they played this song entitled 40. I don't know if any of you know this song. If you are a U2 fan, maybe you will know this song, but it's based on Psalm 40. And the lyrics in the song repeat over and over, I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. How long to sing this song? How long to sing this song? How long, brothers and sisters? This question is for us. It is not only for God. When we ask this question, how long, God is asking us as well. How long will it take for us to sing this new song? How long will it take for us to live into the vision of Amos when justice will roll down like waters? It is time for us to sing a new song, to let our prayers move us into action. We can remain in our lament, and there are some that will stay there, or we can move toward a time when justice will, in fact, roll down, a time when together we will sing and live out this new song. So I've asked Russ if he would share this song 40 by U2, and I'm going to invite you in this time. If you have, you can. If you've got a pencil or a pen, you don't have to write it down. Maybe you just want to reflect on it. But as we listen to the song, what are the ways that God is calling you to be about the work of justice in our world? I lifted up several possibilities, but what is God calling you to today to move beyond just prayer and into action? How can your voice be a part of this new song? Season of Lent, we are going to do a response that talks to what we're able to let go of. And so I'm going to invite you to close your hands right now. We did this last week. Make a tight fist if you can. Lent became a time of giving up something as a sign of penitence in the Middle Ages. This season, we will contemplate what we need to give up in order to let justice roll down, to let justice prevail in our lives, in our church, in our communities, and in our world. So I invite you to imagine that tight fist as a symbol of the frustration or anger over injustice. What in particular creates sadness and lament for you? Now slowly open your hands, letting go of the tension there, and imagine that cool water is flowing into and over them. It is only in opening to the freedom and power God has given us that our hands become ready for loving action, and not closed and ready to meet violence with violence. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come this morning acknowledging that we too have prayed the prayer, "How long?" and have waited for you to respond. And yet you remind us over and over again that you call us to be about the work of justice. And so we come to you this morning grateful for your continued presence with us, even when we feel like your presence isn't here, even when we feel like we are most alone, even when we feel like you are not listening, your presence is still there with us. So open our hearts, Lord, that we might move from this place, that we might be about the work of your kingdom, that we might work towards a time when justice will roll down like waters. In your amazing, loving name we pray. Amen.